Well, good afternoon, everybody. Happy Sabbath. You getting any rain in your area? No? Some? A little bit? Zero down in Fort Meade, but it was raining on the way to Zephyr Hills today, so I kept praying, God, please take it south to Fort Meade. You know, just give us a little bit of rain. So. Eventually. You do know it's after June 1st, so we are in hurricane season now, so you never know when those might pop up on you. So the title of my sermon this afternoon is We Aren't Called to Stand Alone. We aren't called to stand alone. In the book of Joshua, starting in chapter 1, there's a phrase that's used as the Lord is speaking to Joshua. Joshua 1, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua back at that time before Israel crossed the Jordan to go in to the promised land. Well, this is God talking to us today. God has called us to a very great master plan of His to be a very part of that. And just as God was with Moses and Joshua and the other people, prophets and so forth in the Bible, God also will not leave us nor forsake us. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? Do you know that is why we're not called to stand alone? God did the calling. And God is there for us. God the Father and Jesus Christ. Verse 6. He said, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. This promise. He swore that. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. He's repeated that term, that phrase, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand. That you may prosper wherever you go. These words apply to us to this very day and will continue to apply for all of mankind at whatever point God calls them that are not being called today. Verse 8, he said, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. He's not talking to Joshua just for Joshua's sake. He is talking to each and every one of us today. In his words, the book of the law, God's holy scriptures that we're to be immersed in every day, to study, to read, to meditate on. He will make our way to prosper. He will make our way a success because it's God's way. And God's way is perfect in his eyes, and good for everyone that he is calling. But we are the ones that have to make that work in our life. We have to work at it, live it. Verse 9, Joshua 1. Have I not commanded you? Hasn't God commanded us when He called us? He gave us that choice to make. It was our choice to accept God's calling. Just as Joshua accepted that calling back then. It says, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, wherever any of us go, God is with us and will be with us forever because He loves us. He has called us to excel in this life. Just as He called Joshua and instructed Joshua to excel in his responsibilities. And we should heed these words of God, that no matter what time of history this was said, it applies to us in our history today. And we should heed these words in our life. We should keep these words close to our heart, our mind. Because in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, the one who was speaking to Joshua is the one that speaks to us today. It reads, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So those words that Joshua heard in yesteryears apply to us today and will apply to those as well as us as those that are called in the future and forever. So when you hear this type of statement, be strong and of good courage, that phrase coming from the written word of God, what do you feel? What do you think as it applies to yourself? Do you think that God was just speaking those words strictly to Joshua? Only to Joshua for that time, that purpose? Or do we think that it was recorded for us? It was recorded for us to apply it in our life. Not only for our own personal life, but those around us in God's family, and our own personal family. These are words that we need to drink in and make a very part of our life. Again, that's why we're not called to stand alone, because we're part of a family. Whether it's your personal family, whether it's God's family, we are not alone in this. We're all part of the body that we've been called to. We all serve a purpose in that body. So does it fill you with determination? Does it fill you with a need to look at what you may consider an insurmountable obstacle in your life, but knowing and realizing in God's eyes, it's not insurmountable? That is our limitation in our own mind, in our own thoughts, that possibly it is an insurmountable obstacle. But God is there for us. It's an opportunity for us to cry out to our Father, our elder brother, for His intervention, seeking and asking God for knowledge, for understanding, a way of working and seeing how this is to build something within us that we can grow as an exercise of overcoming. To exert as much energy that we need not to just be wasting that energy, not just to be spinning our wheels, but to looking at these opportunities deeply. Because it may not just be affecting us, it could also be affecting other parts of our body, of God's spiritual body. But we need to reach that goal of overcoming. If part of that overcoming is seeking repentance to God, asking God to show us in our life where we're still floundering, where we're still not up to par, so to speak, in our life. Well, Joshua was to lead the army, was to lead Israel into the promised land. And one of the obstacles that he was looking at was Jericho. A massive city, well-fortified city. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we read, where now Joshua the son of Nun, he sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go, view the land, especially Jericho. So they went, and they came to the house of a harlot named Rahab, and they lodged there. Well, they were spies secretly. But in verse 2 we read, and it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. Not very secretive, was it? How that communications was instant to the king, that there were spies. Well, how well does this country that we live in deal with these types of communication? Because in verse 3 it says the king of Jericho sent to Rahab. He didn't need to search the whole city. He knew where they would be at, where they had been seen. It was at Rahab's area, saying to her, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house. He's very detailed in his explanation to Rahab. For they have come to search out all the country. Well, what do we see in this nation? Well, what have we seen in the world in certain countries? We see what they call sleeper cells. Spies have embedded themselves in the population. We see people that are set up in spyware, the technical spying that's going on, even with your own personal information. They're trying to get information from you as through a spyware to get you to fall for that, to sign up for things that they can extract from your files. We have seen espionage, you know, for lucrative money, people that have actually turned against their own country to sell secrets to our enemies. Well, the king of Jericho was just after Rahab to bring out these spies. So again, the men who were sent in there knew that they would face obstacles in their life in this spying operation that Joshua had sent them on. We in ourselves, in our life, that we're asked to go to do certain things, whether it's in your job, whether it's in your school, whether it's in your life, whether you're working, retired, whatever it may be, whether you're a young child having to do something your parents have asked you to do. That's when we make a determination, just as these spies made a determination. They knew they would face that obstacle, so they were already prepared for these events. And fortunately for them, and you can see God's hand in this, that Rahab was involved. In Joshua 2, continuing in Joshua 2 and verse 4, because she took the men and hid them. That was a determination on Rahab's part. And we'll see later what that determination was for. But then she told the king's men that, yes, they had come here, but they had already left. And she didn't know where they went. And I'm not here to talk about in this message about, you can read it in the church's commentary, where yes, she lied and so forth and whatever. I'm not here to discuss that part of the story. Verse 5 said, and it happened as the gate was being shut and it was dark, that the men looking for these spies went out looking for them to see where the men went, pursuing them. It says quickly, because they wanted to overtake them, because they were their enemies. But again, Rahab had taken the men in verse 6 to the roof of her building and hid them. You know the story. You've heard it many, many times. And I'm working to a point here where, as she did that, she knew where they were all along. Verse 7 says, the men that went out and pursued them on the road went as far as the Jordan to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they had secured the gate. Now, we can see things happening in Rahab's life here that we will continue to discuss. She was starting to show a determination to help these men because of what was coming. And she explains this to the men later. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, because she went back to the men on the roof, says, now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. Now apply some of these words that I'm fixing to say to your life before God called you. Because there are times in our life we tend to reminisce, just as when Mr. Cimino was talking about the different generations in last Sabbath's message. A lot of that information that Mr. Cimino covered sat right out there, was reminiscing about my mom and dad's generation, about my generation, our kids. Well, Rahab was also reminiscing about her life, as you can see in the story. In verse 9, she said, and she said to the men, she said to the spies, I know. And just those two words there tells you something. She said, I know that the Lord has given you the land. When God, before God called you, and up to the point that he did call you, could you have made a statement like that? I know the Lord is calling me. I know I've had questions in my life up to this point that I'm starting to hear and see different answers to. That makes sense, coming from God's Word. Did any of that apply to you at some point in your life early on? Then she says that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. Faint-hearted. That's what the men were brought in or sent into the countryside to see what the opposition was all about. Rahab had made a choice. And we know in God's word in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I will start in Deuteronomy, read verses 15 through 20. Rahab made a choice to hide the spies. She made a choice to tell them that she knows the Lord has given them the land. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." Rahab did not know these words, but she was showing that she knew something. She could feel it. Verse 16, Deuteronomy 30. "In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you." We made that choice. We're here today, still making that choice, fulfilling our life in the walk with God. Verse 19 of Deuteronomy 30 says, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." And we'll see later where Rahab, she's made this choice. And she's looking not only to herself, but also for her family, as we'll see later. And we know that we would make the right choice. And by making that choice, we receive blessings from God. But we also know, even by making that right choice, we do face difficulties. We do face temptations. It doesn't say if you choose life, that puts Satan out of the picture. You don't have to worry about him. No, it doesn't say that. Because again, those are our choices to do right, to follow God, to exert that energy. So you see where Rahab made a choice, not only for her, but her family. It was all part of the package. She was serving. She was moving in the right direction. Just as we today should also be continuing in that right direction that God has called us to. She literally put her life on the line. When we accepted God's call, we put our life on the line as well. Have you ever thought of it that way? You've committed your life to God to do the right thing. But God also tells us if we should ever turn away after receiving God's Spirit, receiving and making that choice to follow God, if we turn away from it completely, where does that choice lead us? It leads us to death. And we don't want to go that road. And by helping the spies, God's people, she knew these men represented God's people, God's army. Because you see in Joshua 2, verse 10, because it doesn't say how old Rahab was. But in Joshua 2, verse 10, we read, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, for God's people, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. So they had heard what had happened 40 years prior to that day, a little over 40 years. But she says, we have heard. She remembers that. She was quoting that to the men. What do we have? We have God's record here. All the way back. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. All through history. He even prophesied events to occur in the future. Because God is able to do that. These are his words. So she knew what was waiting for them in outside of Jericho that was coming. Joshua 2:11, she continues the statement she was talking to the spies and says, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in any because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. See how this lady, Rahab, is pouring her heart out about a God that she knows is in charge of the Israelites. And what all God has done for them in the past and in the recent current events on the other side of Jordan. You can see how she is showing a faith in the God that she will eventually learn about. Because it says, as soon as we heard. See? She heard it. She eventually will now see in the near future what God will do for his people. She knows what's coming. So not only do we hear, but we also see. And our faith and our works, our trust and our love in God. Because his words are truth. There's no falseness to God's word. We know what's coming. And we're to be a part of that. That world, that plan of salvation that God is presenting, not only to us, but we'll be presenting it to the world. Rahab wanted to be able to be protected from what she knew was coming. In Romans 10, verse 17, says, so then by faith comes hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And just by Rahab describing what they had heard that occurred 40 years ago at the Red Sea, as Israel is coming out of Egypt. It's amazing how the communications at that time, at times, appears to be so much more factual and better, more accurate than today's world of all the false news. So again, as you think about this not only the storyline, but your life. Of the God who is there with us and for us. What really first captured your focus on God's true way in your life? Because as we've already said, God does the calling. But what was it in your life? At whatever point that was in your life. As Mr. Cimino talked about, the first generation Christian, the second generation, whatever timeline, what was it that clicked for you? And is that still clicking for you today? And improving and growing and building inside you to keep that faith, to keep that love. Because you always ask yourself, what will it take? What will it take of everything that's going on around us? What will it take for us as an individual in God's church? As part of the body of God's church, what will it take for us to respond to our Father's urgent plea of getting ready for His magnificent kingdom? We know it's coming. We know that kingdom is true. Because don't each of us have our own different little trigger points, our little touch points that set us off? I know I do. And those are the type of trigger points that, especially the bad ones, I'm working to get rid of. But why am I waiting? Why? Why do they continue to be trigger points? And I'm speaking of myself right now. But you think about that in your own life. Why does it continue? You react. You repent of it. You want to change. And it happens again. We know it happens. You know, Christ made a very clear statement that applies to us today. In Luke 14, verse 33, Luke 14, verse 33, Christ said, "Whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." So these words really, I know for me, really need to be drilled deeper down into. I need to forsake those points that need to be cast out and left cast out. Do not resurrect that dead body that went underneath the water at baptism. Possibly we all tend to hang on to habits that will not be allowed in, you know, it will not be allowed in the family of God. And we have to think seriously about that. What are they? Where are they? How often are they? Questions you ask yourself. Your examination of yourself. Because again, what was being developed within you at your calling? And whatever that might have been, as it continued to be developed and improved and grown upon, it continues to be developed as we go through life. Because of God's Holy Spirit within us. Leads us and guides us. Are we allowing it to lead and guide us the way it should be? He's a loving God. He gave us the Spirit. after our baptism, after our calling. It's still there. We don't want to douse that flame. But it's there to help us deal with our spiritual, our physical, our mental, emotional, our social development. And that word development, we need to continue constantly developing ourselves in God's purpose, God's way. Because are you still being driven by a purpose? Only you can answer this in your life. I mean, the young ones, the teenagers, do you have a purpose that will drive you in your life? Do you have a determination to be successful in life? Do you have the endurance to succeed in your purpose, in that determination? It's really something that you can develop, you can grow in. You can seek information from some of those earlier generations that Mr. Cimino talked about, from their history, from their successes, and their challenges. Christ faced these challenges when he was here. But he never sinned. He was perfect. The very Son of God. In Lamentations chapter 3. Don't go there very often. But Lamentations chapter 3. Verses 22 through 25. We see again, we have a loving God. God the Father. And with Father's Day being tomorrow, the greatness of our Father in heaven. The perfect, supreme God the Father. And his Son, Jesus Christ, at his right hand. Lamentations 3, verse 22, we read, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. How are we in our compassions for one another? How are we in our mercies? Our thoughts and our prayers for others. Verse 23, they are new every morning. So the Lord's mercies and compassion is new every morning. It's as great as your faithfulness. So every day is important to us. Because to God it's new every morning. Go to God. Repent. Seek God, ask for things from God that you know you need to improve in your life, of serving others, of praying for others. Robert Camacho, as we heard in the prayer request, and many others, and Mr. Wynn has sent out in prayer requests and updates recently. And for anyone in here, what you may be going through in life. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. Verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Put your name there. The Lord is good to Mr., Mrs., whatever age, because we wait for him. We seek him. Back to Joshua chapter 2, verse 12. We see where Rahab, as her faith was building, she goes, now therefore I beg you, Swear to me by the Lord, speaking to the two spies, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. So Rahab was not vain and just about herself. Again, she knew God was behind what was coming. She knew these spies were representatives of God's army. She was asking for not only herself, but her family. In Joshua 2, verse 13, very specific. She said earlier in verse 12, my father's house. Verse 13, she says, spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. She could see what was coming for those in Jericho. She could see what was coming for those in the country who were faint-hearted. She did not hesitate to show her heart to these spies. Just as we should not be afraid, each of us that have been invited to get ready for our future, to open ourselves up to our Father, one-on-one, you and your dad in heaven, to be willing to identify those areas in our life that are not in line with God's rules, God's commandments, God's statutes, testimonies, God's word. Because again, you may not recognize it yourself, but God sees it. God knows what you're asking for. God knows through His Holy Spirit, because it's speaking for you on those things that you really don't even know that you're wanting to speak about. And that power of God. Because we're told about our Christian walk, it's not easy. Sometimes our Christian conversation with our Father is not easy, but it's sincere. It needs to be done in love and humility, because you're speaking to your Father. I was telling Mr. Cimino earlier when he talked about the first generation, 1926, I realized that after services last week that my dad was born in 1926, so if he was alive today, he'd be 100 years old. Well, I never talked to my dad this way, because I understand now that the way my dad acted when we were kids was because he was treated that way when he was a kid. Okay? It may not have been on purpose, but that was his way of handling things. But it'd be nice to see him in the second resurrection and have a wonderful talk about God's true words, His truth, His potential. Not only His potential, but those of my family that aren't being called now, and those that have passed away that are awaiting a second resurrection. In Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, the point being is I have to be there in order to have that conversation with them. We all need to be there as part of God's family, His children. Matthew 7, verse 13 says, enter by the narrow gate, For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. So we have to be sure of our footing on the path that we're on. It says, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. So this means that we must make tough decisions. Make the right decisions. And then push ourselves, force ourselves, wanting to exert that pressure and that energy with God's help, because He's there to help us, to do what is required of us. There are requirements, but they're all good for us in our growth. So at what point, if we are prone to making excuses for any bad behavior, when will we learn to stop, to wake up to that tremendous calling, which this is a tremendous calling from our Father that He has given us? Only you can answer that for yourself. What does it take? Rahab had a great grasp of what it would take, and she was leading up to that by her actions. Because we read in Joshua 24, verse 15, after everything Joshua had gone through, because he was one of the 12 that was part of the first group that went up to check out, spy out the land. And only him and Caleb were the only two that said, yes, let's go in. We can do it. God's with us. And the other 10 turned all Israel against Moses. Said, oh, no, we need to go back to Egypt. And that's what started the 40 years, because they were there 40 days for a year for a day. And Joshua had to deal with that. He was the assistant to Moses of all of that grumbling and griping. But here he is now in this position. So in Joshua 24:15, he says, in the latter part of that verse, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Isn't that what we agreed to when God called us and we accepted that calling? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have we done it 100% correctly? No. Have we done it perfectly? No. But we're still doing it. We're seeking God's repentance from God to help us to take those additional steps on that narrow path. We just have to keep moving forward. In Titus 1, verse 2, we read, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Even before Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and earth. Even before that, even before the foundations of the world, that hope of eternal life was God. And He promised it to us. Rahab was looking for a support system to know that her family would be safe. She was trusting these two spies Now, we today ask God the Father and Jesus Christ for their help. They are our support system. But not only God and Jesus Christ, each one of you, God's people around this world, part of the body, we are all each other's support system. And not just here on the weekly Sabbath, but we should be supporting each one, each and every one of that support system through our prayers, through our phone calls, our texts, our emails, however way we serve them. To be there for those who need to talk, who need an ear to listen, so that they know they're not alone in this world. Again, the reason why we aren't called to stand alone. We're here to serve. We're here to love one another. Because we're, each and every one of us, we're very unique and special, not only to each other, but to God. And each of us have our own traits. Each of us have parts of our lives that we can share with one another for growth that you may be looking for. You know, serving, being together in unity, whether it's our fellowshipping, whether it's our prayers, as I've already said, or the prayer request, your phone calls, the occasional Zoom Bible study, it is a great time to be together on listening to God's Word in the Bible study in Zoom. Here at the hall, to be greeters. What better way to meet people as they're coming in the hall? To talk to them. Because it's very hard to get around to each and every one of you. During service or after services or before services. Greeters are those you first see. Hall cleanings. Since I'm coordinating the satellite site here in Tampa, one that I'm very interested in is the registering for the Feast of Tabernacles, especially if you plan on being here at the satellite site. And I can only know that if you're registered for this site. So I'm just throwing that out there for anyone that may have not signed up yet. No matter where you're going, just remember to try to take care of that as soon as you can, because there's a lot of feast sites and people that are coordinating the sites want to know. But again, just being here to listen and conversations with each other, the growth period. Well, we know how the story ends with Rahab. Much more that we could talk about there. We also know the lineage that led up to David, King David, coming from Rahab and her husband later on in life. So we know what God's word has told us is coming. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, where it talks about, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Perilous. Dangerous, fierce, hard to take, a weakening, perilous. But we shouldn't be fearful of that. We should be growing. We should use that information to grow even closer to God. You can read the scriptures for yourself. But it's just truly amazing how God's Word In John 17, Christ's message before he went out to the garden to be arrested. John 17, verse 1 through 5. This is our Lord and Savior speaking. And he spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. As many as he has given him. Here we are today. There are many other congregations around this world that this applies to. Verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. How are we growing in that area of knowing God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent? It says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Again, to see how far back this plan existed. And we know this is true because in John 17:17, we've heard, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. God is setting us apart by his word, by his truth. So let's keep rehearsing what we have heard through God's word, through the examples, the history, the stories from the Bible, what we learn to share by our own stories, what we hear from others and their stories, to keep applying what we have learned in our daily walk with God. Because it needs to continue to be a daily walk. And continue building faith and to let your faith have action. To serve those. Continue to pray for those. Because again, we are not called to stand alone in this fight, in this life. We're all one in this battle. Enjoy the rest of Sabbath.